This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 4. Who am I? Preference, competence, and values.
Who is this Christian you always talk about?
Well, you.
Me? Who am I then?
Who am I? Where do I go? What are we doing all this for?
What, if not, who am I?
Well, you are Christian.
My name is clear. I also know my date of birth. I know some of my vital statistics, like my blood pressure, my height, my weight. I know where I live, and I know all the demographic information about me.
I'm glad you remember.
I remember. I have the feeling that this could be important for me as a manager.
So, where does this feeling come from?
I remember that a Chinese general once said, "Know thyself. If you know yourself and know your enemy, you need not fear any battle." That's why I'm interested in knowing who I actually am. How can you help me find out?
Let's see. You just mentioned some information about yourself. You know your name, your date of birth, and your blood pressure. You obviously remember these things. So could I say that a part of who you are is your memories?
Yes, I think so.
Good. So there are memories within you. What else makes you unique?
Let's see. My purpose in life. My motivation for why I am in this world. Also, my values, my interests, my skills, and my preferences.
Those are a lot of things that define you. What else?
What I do all day. My actions.
Let me summarize again. Things that describe who you are include your values, interests, skills, preferences, and your actions. Let's start with values. Which values distinguish you?
Good question. Knowledge is one of my values. I want to understand a lot and learn a lot in my life. Happiness is also one of my values. I make the decision to be happy, or at least to keep trying until I really am. Productivity is another important value, implemented through knowledge and resulting in happiness. Is anything missing? I can certainly think of more values.
Where do these values come from? It is nice to hear what is important to you in life, because that is what values are, things that are important to you. How did you get to these values?
These values have emerged over the years. I estimate that about 30% are genetic and 70% are the result of experience.
So you're saying that some simply come out of your DNA. Some are virtually predetermined by your genetic structure, while others you've experienced. Do you think you can change these values?
It's difficult to change them. I don't want that at all. I think they're so firmly anchored in me that I don't want to change them at all.
Suppose you would like to change them. Could you perhaps change them using psychological methods?
I think so, definitely.
Okay, what else do you think?
I think that I'm good at math. Are we now on the subject of beliefs?
Sounds like it. Where does this belief that you're good at math come from? What makes you choose to think that?
I used to get good grades in school. Many people used to say, "The boy is good at math. And he's bad at languages and sports."
Did you believe that then?
Yeah, sure. I believed that too. Then I studied theoretical elementary particle physics. There, I did a lot of calculations. As I recall, I believed I was pretty good at that.
You use the word believe again. What else do you choose to believe?
Now, I believe that I can also learn to be good at languages. I also believe that I can learn anything I want to learn. Sailing, flying, playing musical instruments. Everything I want to learn, I can learn.
When I think of beliefs, I always think of faith, that is, religion. What do you believe in religiously?
I'm still looking for that. I took some kind of test in the past. It was about finding out which religion and philosophy of life suits me best. The result was Buddhism.
There's a test for that?
Yes. In the test, I ticked off which of the beliefs of different religions and philosophies shared values, beliefs, and morals similar to those that I hold. I had the most similarities with Buddhism and its European variant, Stoicism.
So you do have faith. You believe that there's something else besides us, you and me, in the here and now.
Yes, I'm convinced that there's something else. I experience and feel it every day.
So we've already gotten to know two of the facets that make you who you are. We know more about your values and your beliefs. Let's go back to your memories. What do you remember particularly well from your life?
Frankly, I'm glad that there are some things I don't remember. This is also one of my beliefs. I often hear my mother saying to me, "Christian, do you remember when?" "No, I don't remember," I often think in response. And that's just as well. I'm sure I could bring back these memories with psychological methods, and I'm convinced that I can do without some of my memories. It's not necessary to remember everything.
Well, we've got that cleared up. Basically, we live in the here and now, so who needs memories? We talked about values, about beliefs, about religion, and about memories. What remains are preferences and skills. What about your preferences? Do you have any?
Absolutely. I've gotten to know my preferences, thanks to you. Through you, I realize that I'm full of creative, yellow energy, so I like to have fun and talk to people. Until then, I had always believed that my preference was mainly mathematics and more precise work, skills I had acquired over many years. Even now, I can still sit down and solve mathematical problems. I still enjoy doing that for a certain amount of time. It's just not my preference. It's not something I'd like to do for my entire life.
Where do you think your preferences come from? You know, the things that come easily to you, what you like to do, and what flows effortlessly. Your so-called comfort zone.
In terms of preferences, I would say that the proportion of genetics is higher, perhaps 70%. The remaining 30% come from my environment. That is, my early childhood imprint. Childhood is always partly to blame.
You mean like your performance in the high jump? You once told me how easy it was for you to get a certificate in high jumping because you are so tall. You said to me, "I just walked up to that bar, jumped up, and turned my body in the air, and someone gave me a certificate." That was easy for you because your physique made it possible.
I also used to think that Olympic swimmers develop a wide back and short legs because of all their training. Now I think it's the other way around. They're good swimmers because they have a wide back and short legs.
You mean because their physique makes swimming easier?
Yes, of course. They also train hard to swim well and build up their performance to a very high level of competence. What I want to say is, my legs are simply too long for me to become a world champion swimmer. Besides, it would also be too boring for me.
You've probably heard of strength-based management. It's about identifying and managing your strengths. Strengths are related to my preferences. If I discover my natural preferences, or what comes easily to me, then I can easily develop preferences into strong competencies, strengths at which I excel. This is how I became a world champion.
At least in the area of preference that I'm good at.
So let's get back to our initial question. This was, who is Christian? Or in general, who am I? We've learned a lot about you. Admittedly, we didn't learn much about your memories. However, we do know that you have some embedded and coded memories. Everything you perceived on the visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory, the 5 VACOG channels, in the past. It would certainly be exciting to hear on another occasion what memories you have stored. We have also learned something about your values, about what is deeply rooted and important for you. You said something about it like, "My values are fun, learning, and productivity. I don't want to change these. I'm fine with keeping these." After that, we talked about beliefs. You used to believe that you were good at math and not at languages. Later, you realized that you are also good with people and languages. So you believe that you can learn everything you choose to. I can control and choose what I believe, even in terms of religion. Then we considered the topic of preferences, things that come easily to me by nature. Competencies are the skills I acquire, even if I have long legs and short arms and still want to be a world champion swimmer.
Then it might be a lot harder for you to become a world champion.
So who do you think you are now? Who is Christian?
I'm Christian. With all these facets, memories, values, beliefs, skills, and preferences, I know that now. How does that help me to lead myself? First and foremost, leadership begins with myself. It means leading myself, then leading others, and finally, not having to fear battle anymore.
So you know the first part, yourself. The quote you mentioned from Sun Tzu, the Chinese military strategist and philosopher, comes down to this. Know thyself and know your enemy, and you will win 100% of all battles. So now you know who you are in the dimension of values, beliefs, preferences, memories, and skills. Now you can find out who the people that you lead are and how they differ from you. Let's assume that you still have the belief that I am good at math and I am good at languages. Someone else on your team who has different beliefs from yours is now facing a mathematical or language task. How do you deal with this?
Knowing your own beliefs is an important step. I can work with that. Let me give you an example from the time of my coffee bar company, Chico Di Caffè. Because I was the physicist in the company and knew how to deal with numbers, I was, of course, initially responsible for the company's bookkeeping. I took over this area from the tax consultant and built up the financial department. At some point, I realized that someone else was much better at it than I was. I enjoyed building up the department and also getting into the cash book. I found that totally exciting. However, I only had fun doing something like that until I knew how to do it, and it became routine. From that moment on, it was better to hand it over to someone else. If I know which activities are easy for me and which require less energy to achieve a good result, I can take on these tasks. On the other hand, if I know that an activity tends to cost me a lot of energy while someone else finds the same task much easier, I should hand it over, ideally to a person who says, I can do the bookkeeping for hours every day. It's easy for me.
So, if I understand you correctly, for me as a manager, if I know where my own abilities lie and those of my colleagues, I can delegate tasks in a way that everyone does what he or she does best and where he or she achieves the best results. This way, the overall performance of the team would be higher and the result better.
It does not necessarily have to be delegated. The tasks can also simply be distributed together, so that we can talk about them together and learn even more about each other's skills.
Just like you and I work together.
You'd better do that. You're better at this than I am. Great. Thanks for letting me do this.
I think this way of working is great. A part of who you are is very auditory. You like to listen and you like to talk. You clearly have a preference for the auditory channel. That's why you came up with the idea for our podcast. It simply suits you and is easy for you. I am more of the visual type. I like to get a flip chart and start painting or typing something on my keyboard so I can see it. If I can't see it, I can't think. So I take care of our videos and the visuals. This is a great arrangement, aligned with our different sets of strengths. It's also much more fun when I can do the things that I find easy and that I'm good at, while the things that I don't like to do are taken care of by someone else who loves doing those things, someone who is really good at them. That way, the whole team feels great and delivers great results.
We once did an exercise on this. Everybody wrote down which tasks they do all day, which ones they enjoyed, and which ones they didn't. In the end, we had 5 sheets full of tasks. We then put them together and distributed the tasks so everyone got mainly tasks that they enjoyed. The team's productivity increased enormously, and it was much easier on everyone.
That's a great idea. It means that I sit down with my team, each one writes down 10 tasks they are working on, categorizing task enjoyment into little, medium, and a lot. Then we put it all together and everyone picks out what they enjoy the most. Oh, you enjoy that? I didn't know that. Well, then there you go. The job is yours. That's a wonderful way of distributing work. Then everyone is much happier and the results are better.
Exactly. And this is basically how you and I work together.
Now, I have only one question at the end. You are Christian. Who am I?
You're Michael.
The exercise of understanding who I really am, what preferences and competencies I really have, is a great idea for the whole team. It creates understanding and draws attention much more consciously to the strengths of each individual. It builds appreciation. I immediately know who I can turn to for which topic. However, I am afraid that in many companies, tasks and projects of employees and managers are still often chosen based on visibility and prestige rather than on their own skills. So how honest can I be with myself and the team? What happens if my preferences and skills do not meet the expectations of my role? Especially as a boss, the expectations others have of me are very high. Am I allowed to be who I am? Does the answer to this question indicate a possible conflict of values?
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.